Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Food for the Journey. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and it is such a privilege for me to be able to speak to you. I thank God every day that He has given me this opportunity, and I pray that His word, I'm but the vehicle, that His word bring great fruit in your life, that you receive His word, that you ponder His word, that you make decisions to follow Him more closely. Just do them one at a time. Don't take on a lot of decisions because you know what happens. You do nothing. Make one decision at a time. But I just want you to know what a privilege it is for me to be here, to speak to you. But also, I want to say how much I pray for you, that you in turn may bear abundant fruit because of the power of God's word, because of all the wisdom that He imparts to those who sincerely seek to follow Him. Just do it right within your own circle. You don't have to go to a foreign land. What does God want of me right here, right now? So let's take a look now at the readings for this Sunday, the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The opening prayer, O God, who manifested your almighty power above all by pardoning and showing mercy, bestow, we pray, your grace abundantly upon us and make those hastening to attain your promises heirs to the treasure of heaven. Lord, may we follow you more and more closely, and may we know the treasure of heaven. May we be heirs of the promise. It's a good thing to pray every day. The first reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, the Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. So here we have the Old Testament, God coming down and sharing His Spirit with us. This is not just an idea. This is a reality that the Spirit of the living God can live within us. It's by the graces of our baptism, by the graces of confirmation, the Holy Spirit, the Eucharist, reconciliation, the Spirit dwells within us. You are a tabernacle of the Most High God. You are. Are you living that way? Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? Do you know the one to whom you belong? It is Jesus. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, they hadn't come out with us. Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses answered him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Look at the spirit there. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Moses' gifts, he knew didn't come from him. He knew they came from God. His gifts to be leader of God's people. He knew that they didn't reside in him and that they were his, they were God's. But you and I, many times, are gifted, and it's so easy for us to say, yes, this is mine, this is my gift. You can say, yes, I've been given this gift, and may I use it for His glory. You acknowledge that you receive it, but it didn't originate in you. So how can you take pride in that? It's a gift. Gratitude should be in your heart. Gratitude and a desire to see that gift used with the intention of the giver, God. So let's get things straight, because it's so easy for us to take things that we like or things we're given to do like we're the source of them. spirit of gratitude goes very, very far, brothers and sisters. Ask God to give you that spirit if you don't have it, or to cultivate it more. Now, this reading from the book of Numbers goes on to say, "Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering but had been left in the camp." I'm emphasizing this because I want you to see they had been left. I don't know. Maybe they were working. Maybe they didn't want to come. I don't know. They too had been on the list, so they were invited, but had not gone out to the tent. Okay, so they rejected the invitation. Do you reject the invitation? I do sometimes. "Yet the Spirit came to rest on them also, and they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp,' Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, 'Moses, my Lord, stop them.'" Now, I'm reading this again because I want you to see that it would be so easy to take these gifts to himself, for Moses to say, "You can't prophesy. I'm the one that's been given the gift of prophecy." Oh, don't we get into that? Who are you to be doing what I'm doing? This is my gift. But Moses didn't do that. Moses said, "Are you jealous for my sake?" I mean, it's easy to be jealous if somebody has the same gift you has and does it better than you. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. I wish that the gift I had was given to every man, woman, and child. Do you see the generosity of that spirit? What do we do with the gifts God has given us? How do we use them? Denying them is false humility. If you've been given a gift, thank God I've been given this gift. Thank God my gift has helped you, or whatever the case may be. Psalm 19, "The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart." God's word, God's call, God's precepts, God's commandments are given to us that we might know joy and peace in this world, that we might know the happiness of being cared for. And if we follow what the caregiver offers us, that we will be safe and happy for all eternity. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage, and one that I encourage you to read often. Let's take a look at the second reading from the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. "Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending misery. Your wealth has rotted away, your clothes have become mothy, your gold and your silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance." Whoa. James is saying, brothers and sisters, what have you done with what you've been given? Have you used it as one who has received a gift and to use it for the glory of the giver? Or have you taken it to yourself and used it for your own selfish ends? What have you done with what you've been given? Is a spirit of gratitude in you? Ask God to give you that spirit. Work on it. Make it part of you. Thank God every time something good happens to you. Stop for a moment and say, "Lord, this originates with you. This comes from you. Thank you." Get into the habit of that. Gratitude is essential. "Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You've fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance." I repeat that because I want you to look at that again. Are you guilty of any of that in your own life? You can change the circumstances and perhaps the wording of it, but is there any way that you have used the gifts of God simply to serve your own selfish desires? That's a very, very serious question that needs to be answered by every one of us. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 to 43, and then 45, 47, 48. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not follow him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Even if someone has done something small for you with the right intention, you will not lose your reward. Even if someone does something great that's well known, but they do it in Jesus' name, it's all right. That's a good." See, there's a way that jealousy can invade. You know, we've walked with the Master, and we're the ones who know what we're supposed to do. And then they start seeing other people healing, other people. And what happens to us? We get very defensive. Well, they didn't do this with us. They're not of our people. And we start criticizing. Ask God first. Turn to God first. Is this from God? Is this you, Lord? Is this another expression of your grace and mercy? If it is, may I rejoice in it and celebrate it. Watch for division. If it's division because there is evil, that's one thing. If there's division because your pride is hurt, take a long look at what's going on, because you offend God when you allow your own selfish desires to overpower using the gift of God as God intended it to be used. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Now, he's talking about the emphasis changes slightly here. He's talking now about the little ones who believe in me and you've taught them to sin. Where have I passed on sin rather than good? Where have I initiated people younger than me into something sinful? It would be better, Jesus says, for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Whoa, you lead anyone to sin, you are in serious trouble. Repent immediately. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. In other words, do what is necessary to not sin. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is really seriously emphasizing, don't lead people to sin, please. The penalty is very great. May God lead you and guide you and bless you in your daily life. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.